This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Senator Royce DePlessis from District 5. Royce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell.
So, Royce, there's a consideration before you guys in this special session as it stands. The Louisiana Constitution outlaws specific crimes for which the juveniles can be transferred to adult court by a DA. This bill would repeal that and leave it to simply legislative approval, passing a law as to what could or could not be charged. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
So what is the thought process behind this? And as this bill, I think it's made its way through the Senate and is headed to the House, right?
Yeah, it passed the Senate last week, and it's actually now being heard right now in House Criminal Justice. So I just want to just set the framework, because if you're asking me what the intent or the thinking is behind the bill, I really don't get it, because we are in the middle of a special session on tax reform. Okay, so we're already debating trying to change the economic climate in the state of Louisiana, but now we have this constitutional amendment where we had a crime session in January. So I don't really understand why this is being pushed at this time. We know that the violent crime across the board, across the nation, is down. We know violent juvenile crime is down. So when the questions were asked as to why this is being brought at this particular time, I didn't really get any good answers. But I do have my concerns, and we can certainly go through that. As you already pointed out, there are 15 crimes already enumerated in the Louisiana Constitution, everything from first-degree murder to second-degree kidnapping, that a young person under the age of 17, because we just reverse raised the age during the crime session. So DAs already have wide discretion to charge people under the age of 17 as adults in the criminal justice system. And it just in January, we reversed the raise the age law, which brought the age from 18 down to 17, where you're automatically treated as an adult in the criminal justice system. So I don't really understand what the need is for this, and why we would take this out of the Constitution when we should be focusing on tax reform, which is my focus.
So you said that there are additional concerns. What are they?
The concerns with respect to removing this from the Constitution?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I think we have to just question why it was originally placed in the Constitution. So the people of Louisiana, starting back in 1974, and there were a few amendments after that, felt that it was important enough to put these crimes in the Constitution because we have two systems. We have an adult system and we have a juvenile system. And I want to be crystal clear that violent offenses, serious crimes, need to be taken seriously, and there must be accountability. It needs to be swift. It needs to be certain. But when you have two systems, this amendment, in my opinion, it basically does away with that, because I think this is a pathway to say we don't need to have a juvenile system anymore. We're going to just basically turn it over to the legislature. We don't know who's going to be here in 5, 10, 20 years to be able to just add any crime statutorily without having to go through the people. So then you basically say, well, what's the point of having two systems? We're just going to treat everybody as an adult, no matter what the age is, or no matter what the crime is. So that's my concern.
Yeah, I mean, the timing of it is one thing, but I'm kind of curious, like, when you go through the list, you know, there's a number of crimes that I would think you'd want to see in there, like human trafficking. You know, there's this new move afoot now to hold the district, the individual responsible for distribution of, you know, Oxycontin, fentanyl, or whatever
it may be. Let's add those to the ballot. Let's just add those to the Constitution.
You know, so I mean,
I think you can add those, but to remove them all and just make it all statutory, that process, in my opinion, is what we have a concern with. And when we ask the questions from the bill,
all the other crimes are statutory, though, right? In the adult world,
they are by law, but again, just making the point that I just made, if we take them out of the Constitution, we're basically saying that we don't really see a difference between the adult system and the juvenile system. The DAs didn't ask for this, as far as I don't know of any DAs that have asked for this, and maybe some have, but I'm not aware that the DAs Association came and asked for this. We've gotten word from the sheriff in Orleans Parish, who talked about the concerns from a cost standpoint. You have to, even though you have young people who are under the age of 18 being housed with adults, they still have to be separated because they're under the age of 18 due to federal law. So these are additional costs, additional logistical concerns that the Orleans Parish Sheriff has with this proposal, and that's already under the current law of reversing raise the age. Again, we want accountability. We need accountability. But I don't know where we're really going with this, because there was no data provided, no statistics provided, no real good argument that was made as to why we need this. And all I'm saying is, if we're going to take this out of the Constitution, let's at least have a compelling argument as to why we should have it. And I didn't hear that. And again, this is all during the middle of a special session on tax reform, and we just had a special session on crime in January, where we reversed, where we lowered the age back to 17. It just doesn't make sense.
And I tend to agree with you, Senator, because I don't think, you know, we're really engaging in enough debate here on these issues, because we don't have enough time. First, we don't have enough time, right, as it relates to the, you know, the tax reform package, and then you start throwing in these one-offs. There's even less time there. I'm just kind of curious. I'm not exactly 100% confident that we actually have a juvenile system, because it's left to the complete discretion of the respective juvenile courts across the state. They have a much broader discretion framework than any other court in the state of Louisiana. And who goes to jail, who goes where, and who gets what as it relates to services, there is little or no consistency there, which I always believes leads to disproportionate impact, disparate treatment, and we get caught up in the quagmire of that legitimate issue, and we lose sight of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. Your thoughts?
Fair point, and I think there's absolutely room for debate and obvious room for improvement in our juvenile system. But that's not what's happening in this constitutional amendment.
So
we can work on improving the courts. We can work on improving what happens when young people are detained, when they are brought before a juvenile judge. We can work on improving that. But no disagreement there at all, Newell. I'm just saying, in this amendment, it's fragmented. It doesn't have any real data to support it. There doesn't seem to be much of a unified or consistent voice around why it's needed. I'm here to be proven wrong, but I just haven't heard anything from those who are pushing for this huge constitutional amendment as to why it's needed at this time, especially given the fact that we just had a crime session in January. We lowered the age to 17. Trends are down right now. Why would we take such a drastic step? So we can work on doing more to hold the juvenile justice system accountable. This amendment, in my opinion, does not do that.
Yeah. Let's pivot to the tax reform that's going on now. I mean, are you hearing much from your constituents?
I'm hearing a whole lot. I will tell you, Newell, I'm getting a lot of calls, a lot of emails, people in the grocery store, people in the neighborhood. Unfortunately, I have not had anybody from my district to reach out to me to tell me to support any of the measures that are being put forward. Generally, I am in full support of doing everything we can to try to improve the business climate here in Louisiana. And we know that tax policy is a huge component of that. But most of the proposals right now that are being floated pose a danger to many industries that are thriving in New Orleans, as well as just everyday people who are just working, small business owners, people who are just, you know, trying to do their part. So a lot of concerns. The bills just made their way to the Senate. Senate Rev and Fisk met yesterday and today. So we're just now getting the bills. Some have been amended. Some are likely going to be amended. So I don't know what it's going to look like when it reaches the finish line.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, so I'm kind of curious. I mean, being a number cruncher in my previous life and a tax collector, I have tried to do a number of back of envelope calculations as to, you know, at what level of income does someone really benefit from this, of the expanded sales tax base versus a flat tax on state income. If you look at the folks that are on Social Security, there is no state income tax paid on that. So it seems to me they're kind of behind the eight ball. The only thing that they would measure against would be whatever savings they have on prescription drugs, and not all jurisdictions tax prescription drugs. Is there anybody doing these calculations for y'all? I mean, is anybody empowering y'all with data as to where people would actually fall out here? Because I'm getting a lot of calls on the show. Folks are trying to do their own calculations, and they said, I think I'm a loser. I wish somebody would give me some data.
Look, there is a provision in there. There are some pieces of it that I do like. I like the idea of making the teacher pay raise permanent. That would be something we don't have to come and debate every year. There's a doubling of the standard deduction for retired people. But most of the constituencies that I've heard from, and you have a lot of them out there, they don't really see a whole lot of gain. Obviously, the folks on the higher end, you know, they're going to stand to see a big benefit, as well as a lot of your out-of-town corporations. And there are some pieces to the current tax scheme that are not great when you talk about taxing inventory on companies that don't have a high revenue. They could be taking a loss currently, so we could see how we can fix that. But to your point, we are getting a lot of data. We got staff that crunches numbers from us. You have special interest groups that crunch numbers. And I can't see that there's been a whole lot of inconsistency with what we've been getting. But with every different amendment or proposal, whether it's to extend implementation or to lower the percentage of a sales tax from 0.45 to 0.4, that throws the entire puzzle off. So you got to look at this as like a big puzzle. And each piece has to fit in order for this thing to even come close to being revenue neutral. And that's our big concern, that if we support this package to lower the income tax, to lower the corporate income, to lower the corporate franchise rate, that's great, but down the road, are we going to be in a situation where revenue is so short that now we have to make cuts? And that's everybody's big concern. That's my number one concern. And I don't want to be loading up more taxes on your lawn care person, the beautician, or the barber, or any of these new additional services that are currently not being taxed that will be taxed as a way to try to make up for lost revenue.
Well, my concern really is for local government. And, you know, the thing is, and I think you would agree, local government moves the quality of your life, you know, one degree left or right, more so than any other level of government, more so than the state, more so than the Fed. And if local government is not revenue neutral on this, that causes me some serious concern. And again, from a local government perspective, being the former tax collector, I know a little bit more than most. I can't figure out that they're going to come out on the plus side. You know, some of this expanded sales tax base sounds great, but the collection effort to go get that money of folks that have never paid, that's going to be quite a task for local government. I made this observation the other day. We're not going to know whether or not it works for about 2 years from today. You know what the interesting thing is about 2 years from today? You and others are going to be running for re-election. And when this comes back to roost, where local government is starting to make cuts because this is not reached or achieved the levels that they thought it would, I think there's going to be a price to be paid for a whole lot of folks. And that's why I'm kind of curious about these back-of-the-envelope calculations. Are we sure? You know, because we're almost betting on the come of an expansive business base moving here. I don't necessarily agree. I mean, I watched that as a tax collector from 1994 to 2017 when I left. I was responsible for that, you know, and looked at it every day as the CFO to 2017 when I left the sheriff's office. I didn't see ever a period of huge expansion by the movement of taxes or otherwise throughout that period, not only here, but I really didn't see it around the country, with some few exceptions. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go on too long.
Yeah, no, Newell, you're right on target. I don't know what it looks like for Jefferson, but the numbers that we got for New Orleans are $38 million in terms of loss. That's the predicted loss that the city of New Orleans has given us. So I don't know what that would look like for the different jurisdictions across the state, but that's the number that I've been provided. And who knows? It could be more than that.
Yeah, I would suspect that it's more than that, because I don't think they must be assuming that they're going to be able to collect on this expansive number. And
right.
Collection efforts are hard, especially new collection efforts on somebody who traditionally and historically not paid. Sales taxes.
Yeah, I don't even know how you set that system up in a way that's fair, where this broadening of the tax base, you have all of these folks who's never paid this. They would, I don't know if they would have to go out and hire an accountant or hire a lawyer, all these new rules they have to comply with, and then the city would have to have a system in place to be able to go collect it. I think it was setting a lot of people up for failure.
Let me ask you this question. You know, there's been a lot of chatter, probably at least since you've been in the Senate and even before, about streamlining tax collection, right? But what's interesting to me, we quickly moved to a provision of opting in or opting out on inventory taxes. That seems to me to just make things more complicated, not more streamlined. Have y'all had a discussion about that?
Yeah, like I said, the bills just got to the Senate. I haven't been part of that discussion publicly, but that was the first question that I asked, too. I've been up here now a little bit over 6 years, and there's been an effort for several of those years to try to centralize the sales tax collection. It hasn't been successful, but it seems like we were moving in one direction, and this definitely moves us in another direction, where they're saying we would just give it to the locals for you to decide. That certainly goes into the opposite direction of the centralized sales tax. Now, the city of New Orleans, again, has always been opposed to the idea of centralizing sales tax or giving up that power to the state of Louisiana. Other sheriffs, other tax collectors throughout the state may have some different views on it, but
I'm opposed
by making
to
the
it.
Inventory. Yeah,
I was opposed to it then, and I'm still opposed to it now because I don't think they provided data to support what they say it'll accomplish. But be that as it may,
right.
So I was just kind of curious whether or not that they're going to look into that.
Some of the same folks that are pushing for the centralization are now saying, "Well, we would leave it up to the locals on the inventory." I don't see how that's consistent.
That's not consistent at all. from my perspective, it's going to be interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I did ask you if it was okay to talk about the tax plan because that wasn't what we were originally set for, and I appreciate your willingness to do so.
To have me on, Newell.
Well, thank you so much, sir, and we'll do it again soon. Royce DuPlessis, state senator, District 5, state of Louisiana. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.